This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Nation, Week 16 in the NFL. It's your fantasy football championships, major NFL playoff implications on the line. We're here to break it all down. I'm Bill Enright. With me, as always, is Todd DeVries. What's going on, Todd?
Hey. Ready for a big weekend, baby.
I mean, this is as big as it gets in terms of fantasy football. This is what we've been preparing everyone for since August.
It is. And let's be honest, Bill. After this week, it gets a little wacky because you get the big holiday weeks coming up.
Yep.
You know, our radio schedule gets a little spotty for the next couple weeks.
True.
And, but, you know, then we emerge from it all, and by the boom, we're in the NFL playoffs. So this is kind of the real, if you think about it, Bill, this is kind of the last kind of regular season broadcast where we have fantasy and NFL to talk about.
Yeah, and it'll be certainly interesting come January. We'll break down all the playoff matchups, go through who we think is going to be in the Super Bowl. But right now, Todd, I mean, a lot of people out there, a lot of our listeners are in their fantasy football championships. Yeah. I know they have a lot of questions. I know they have a lot of lineup decisions. We're here to help. 855-728-7500. 855-PATS500. That's the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. You can always find us on Twitter. Todd is at CFF Geek. I am at Bill Enright, and we like to give a shout out to our producer, Kevin Collins, who is at PATS_Radio_Kevin. Did I get that correct?
Yes, sir.
See, Todd gave you a nice little shout out today on Twitter.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, try to get
Christmas come early.
There you go.
Via the CFF Geek.
That's right.
But listen, my point in all this is if you're not listening to us live, there are ways that you can get to us for some lineup help. You can always hit us up on Twitter. You can always check out ffchamps.com, get our rankings, get our expert advice service. And ESPN's Boston's insider, Field Yates, who is another fantasy guy, actually, he's going to join us later on the show, too. So we'll certainly have a string of experts here to help you. It's going to be a very busy show. I know our good friend Kerry Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com. He's going to drop in a little bit from now, go over some weaknesses for the top playoff contenders. I think that should be some fun. We'll go over the major NFL playoff implications for this weekend. Todd, as we have been broadcasting live here on Patriots.com radio every Thursday, typically in a couple hours from now, live, there's always been a Thursday night game, but not the case this week. Thursday night games are done. Finito.
Yeah, and that's a good and a bad thing, Bill.
Bad thing how?
Bad thing is it's signaling the end of the NFL regular season,
which
is only 10 or 11 days away.
Correct.
Good, because those games stink.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And they wreak havoc in the world of fantasy football.
They sure do.
No! We suck again!
Yes, we suck again. Last week, Bill, you know, the curse of Thursday Night Football struck the Denver Broncos.
I was shocked.
Some guy named Andre Caldwell's catching touchdown passes. Not Decker, not Demaryius Thomas, not Orange Julius.
Drove me crazy.
Andre Caldwell. So enough of those Thursday things. Now, this week we get a whole bunch of games on Sunday,
yep,
and then one straggler on Monday night. And then the fantasy season, we can close the book on it pretty much. Unless you're Kevin and you're still playing week 17 because you got a wacky commissioner.
Kevin, any response to that?
No, I agree. It's a wacky commissioner.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hate it, but it's a 12-team league with everybody, and they don't seem to hate it as much as I do. So,
yeah. We'll ask Field about that a little bit later, what he thinks about week 17.
Because I'm the week only one who knows anything, so screw all of them. I'm going to take all their money anyway.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Let's jump over to the phone lines. We want to help out as many people as possible. We know it's a crucial week setting your lineups. You don't want to leave points on the bench. We're going to go to Josh in Virginia. He's in a 10-team standard league. What's up, Josh?
What's happening, guys?
How's it going, man?
Going pretty good. Are you guys sick of me calling Boots your shows every week again?
Are we what?
I said, are you guys getting sick of me calling your shows?
No.
Never.
Absolutely not. We love all of our callers.
I got three champions. I got three teams going to the championships this year out of my four. So I'm going to make this really quick so you can get to everybody, man. Foles or Romo?
Foles.
Foles and Geo or Crabtree in my flex.
Foles, Geo, or Crabtree?
No, Nick Foles or Gio. I mean, Nick Foles or Romo as a quarterback in my in my flex. Crabtree or Giovanni Bernard.
Giovanni Bernard.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, after watching that Kirk Cousins Falcons game last Sunday with my dad, man, I think a little shy and whatnot. It was a spectacle just to behold, man. I got a little faith in Crabtree this week, but I still just don't trust it.
Yeah, you know, listen, to be honest with you, I have him at number 19. But in a standard scoring league, I'd rather go with the running back.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Best of luck to you, Josh. Happy holidays.
Awesome. Happy holidays to you, too.
That was an easy one, Todd. I think we're going to get a lot of quarterback questions.
That's the way we like them, though. Short, sweet, to the point.
Yep.
I'm telling you, Bill, what we're going to hear a lot of today are Kirk Cousins questions.
Yep.
And probably Jordan Todman questions as well.
You're right.
You know,
we don't know the running back situation with MJD just yet.
Yeah. You know, you get to this point in the season. Every week there's always a one or two hot waiver wire pickups. Some weeks are better than others, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about the fantasy championship week and you got two guys that are legitimate, like possible plug them right in type of guys,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a lot of noise from the audience on that. Kirk Cousins has a great matchup. Looked pretty good against the Falcons last week. Now he gets Dallas, which has one of the all-time worst defenses in NFL history.
Mm.
You know, people are going to be asking, Bill, do I grab Cousins off the waiver wire? Do I start him over Brady? Do I start him over Romo? Do I start him over Andrew Luck? You're going to get those questions today.
Well, just to put it in perspective here, I mean, Nick Foles is my number 3 ranked quarterback on FFChamps.com. Tony Romo's number 4. So it's pretty darn close.
Oh, you mean with Josh's call there?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
Pretty darn close. But that's the way I like it. I like having good options. It's not like he had Nick Foles or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Nick Foles or Alex Smith. I mean, he had two really good options.
Yeah. Yeah.
Todd, last week we had the fantasy matchup of the week. We thought it was going to be the Broncos and the Chargers only because of all the different playmakers that both of those teams had. This week, I think it's going to be a lot of teams, a lot of matchups are going to come down to the Thursday night game. The Sunday night game with the Eagles and the Bears.
Absolutely. You know, you're dealing with both quarterbacks are startable.
Mm-hmm.
Foles and Cutler.
Right.
Both running backs, Forte and McCoy.
Sure.
Maybe three and a half wide receivers. You know, you got Alshon, you got Brandon Marshall, DeSean, and maybe Riley Cooper. I'll give him a half a start.
Which, by the way, DeSean, Marshall, and Jeffrey, all in my top 6.
Mm.
I mean, that's crazy.
You know, you got two tight ends that are kind of borderline starters
in
Marty B and Zach Ertz. Maybe he's more of a reach, Zach Ertz, but, you know, someone to consider. So there's a lot there, man. There's a lot of juice that night, and you're right. There are going to be a lot of fantasy championships determined that evening. There's going to be a lot of heroes and goats coming out of that game in the world of fantasy football.
Yeah, I agree. There is some news to get to, Todd. We don't know right now if Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing. It certainly seems like the Packers have more faith in him active this week than they did last week. He was practicing today. Reports out of Green Bay said that Rodgers were throwing missiles in practice. Yeah, he was throwing
missiles.
So we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, that will do wonders for guys like Jordy Nelson, James Jones. Eddie Lacy's been doing well to begin with, but we'll see if Aaron Rodgers is going to be active for the first time in 6 weeks.
That's interesting, Bill, for one reason. I don't have this dilemma, but I'm sure a lot of our audience does. Yeah, here we are. You're in your championship.
Mm-hmm.
You've obviously, if you have Jordy Nelson, James Jones, guys like that, you know, you've been without Rodgers for 5-6 weeks.
Right.
So you've probably settled in with your lineup, either with or without these guys.
Yeah.
Now, you're all comfortable, you're in your championship, and now if Aaron Rodgers comes back, I bet a bunch of our audience is going to be in a kind of a situation, Bill, where it's like, man, now maybe I need to start, you know, Jordy Nelson again. Yeah. Who do I bench? That type of thing.
And that's going to be a sticky situation.
Do you know what I mean?
It's really going to – we're not going to be able to answer that today. I need to know if Aaron Rodgers is active before I tell people to start Jordy Nelson over someone like Pierre Garçon.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting.
Very interesting. And when do you think we're going to find out for sure about Aaron Rodgers?
Tomorrow. I think we should find out by Friday.
Okay.
That's when the Pats said they're going to make a decision.
Packers?
The Packers. What did I say? The Pats?
Yeah.
I got Tom Brady on my mind.
Who doesn't?
Hey, now.
Hey, now. Well, Bill, you know, personally, I am really focusing. I'm in a major big money league title game. And the game it's going to come down to me is this Redskins-Cowboys game.
Okay.
That is a big one because my opponent is very strong except the quarterback. And he went out and picked up Kirk Cousins, and he's going to start him. And I don't blame him for starting him. His other options were really bad. So I'm a little worried, you know. I had the advantage over the guy. I have Peyton Manning, and I have a pretty strong lineup as well. But
sounds good.
Kirk Cousins against that Dallas defense, I'm very concerned about that. Plus the guy is Pierre Garçon.
Well, I have Cousins at 10, so I hate to tell you, but I expect some pretty good numbers from him.
I'd love to see Alfred Morris just go off instead.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think that will be the case when it comes to playing against Dallas. I mean, Matt Flynn probably earned himself another $15 million contract for the second time of his career just from playing in one game.
Well, that's how
good he looked against the Cowboys last week. The Cowboys can make anyone look good.
Yeah, they can. I mean, what do we think about Kirk Cousins? Because last week he had a great matchup as well against the Falcons.
He got it done.
He did get it done. And now he's at home against Dallas. I'm just looking for reasons for him to fail.
I'll tell you this. I think it's supposed to be very windy in the D.C. area on Sunday. Talking about 30-40 mile-an-hour winds.
I'll take that.
I mean, that helps, right?
Yeah. Hand it off to Alf.
Yeah, right.
So that's what I'm looking at, Bill. I'm pretty confident in my team. I have basically one decision to make. But my opponent's pretty strong, and the Kirk Cousins thing really bothered me. I tried to pick him up myself as a defensive move, but the other guy had a higher waiver priority, so...
It's looking like the weather is going to be an impact on nearly every game this week that's not in a dome. I'm seeing a lot of rain. I'm seeing some heavy rain. I'm seeing some chance of snow, showers likely, rain likely, cold, -3 in Green Bay. Oh, boy.
-3?
Yeah. And snowy. Green Bay, Steelers. That should be a good game. What do the Pats have?
49 showers.
Yeah, showers likely. I'm telling you, rain all across the board.
Yeah, I'm looking. You're right. Wow. Well, there's a chance of snow in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And chance of snow in Green Bay. Other than that, it's a bunch of rain.
Well, listen, we're going to get into fantasy throughout the show. You can always email us, webradio@patriots.com. You can give us a call, 855-728-7500. We're going to go over the playoff implications. What needs to happen in Week 16 in order for the Pats to clinch the division and get home field advantage, and who needs to win and who needs to lose? We're going to go over all that in a little bit. But first, I want to bring on our good friend, Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Kerry, thanks for joining us today. I figured it's a good time now to go over some weaknesses of the top playoff contenders.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? There's maybe only one team that doesn't have any real weaknesses, and all the rest are vulnerable and yet still capable of winning the Super Bowl. It's going to be pretty interesting, Bill.
All right, well, let's start off with the vulnerable teams. Talking about the top of the AFC, let's start off with the Denver Broncos. Listen, we know they have a prolific passing attack with Peyton and his trio of receivers and even his top-notch tight end. But what are the Broncos? What's their Achilles heel? What are they weak at?
Well, listen, let's look at that defensive side of the football. 25th in scoring defense, that's not a Super Bowl number. I think the Giants were maybe 22nd or 23rd in 2011, and they were the one kind of anomaly, maybe lightning strikes twice, but these guys have one of the worst run defenses in football, 27th, the Broncos are, in what we call, Bill, defensive rusher rating.
Okay.
It's an efficiency indicator of run defense. We do it on both sides of the ball. They're not a particularly good running team, by the way, either. They're 16th in offensive rusher rating. They're getting gashed downfield in the passing game, and they're inefficient. They're 20th in what we call bendability, our measure of defensive efficiency. guys, would it be odd to see that defense get burned in the postseason? Peyton Manning play a little subpar, play a bit of a subpar game, and that team's one and done, like last year.
I mean, that's what we saw. Yeah, that's exactly what we saw with Raheem Moore and Jacoby Jones streaking down the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah, and that defense was better than this one. This defense has taken a step backward this year, Bill. So everyone's been gung-ho on the Broncos. Oh, yeah, we've not, because those vulnerabilities have been apparent from the get-go. So clearly a critical weakness they're going to need to overcome to fulfill what everyone thinks of their destiny and win the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
Kerry, moving over to the NFC, can anybody beat the Seahawks? Do they have any weakness at all?
You know, Todd, they really don't. They're a pretty devastating team in all measures of all the, you know, all the measures we use. We have 23 different quality stats we use, Todd, okay? 23 different quality stats to measure the performance of every team in every phase of the game. The Seahawks are number one in 8 of them. You know, better than a third, right? I mean, they're number one across the board in 3 different indicators, especially in the critical pass defense indicators, which is so important, especially in the playoffs. They have one big weakness, Todd. They're 17th on the offensive hog index. They're not a particularly great offensive line. That is probably one of their weaknesses. But you know what? What do they have as a safety net? A very mobile and accurate young quarterback in Russell Wilson, who's been able to mask a bit some of those flaws in the Seattle offensive line. So, you know, that really hasn't proven a weakness at all. By the way, they're number 25th. Seahawks are number 25th protecting the pass. So Russell Wilson's getting rushed a lot, but he's able to make plays, get the ball downfield, and one of the most effective quarterbacks in football this season.
He's clutch, man.
I love Russell. You know, listen, I personally, the Cold Hard Football facts have no emotion, have no stake, right? We just tell you what the facts report. I love watching Russell Wilson play. He's a winner. He's fun to watch. He's charismatic. And you know what? He puts up big, efficient numbers, not just the big volume numbers, you know, the most touchdowns, the most yards. But those all-important efficiency numbers, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant young quarterback, and clearly the class of the 2012, the famed 2012 QB draft.
Yeah, just going back to his college days, I mean, he was just so clutch at the end. That even though we expect them to kind of buzz saw their way through the NFC, they're going to have a game in there where it's going to be in doubt with 5 minutes to go. There'll be one.
Yep.
And I would love to have him on my side. He's just that kind of guy, you know. I just can't see them losing. Now, Kerry, on the other side of the equation here, so many times there's a team that kind of struggles through the season, but they get hot in December, right?
Yep.
And they make a deep run into the Super Bowl, either all the way to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. Look at the Giants. What teams like that are on the radar right now as potentially that hot team at the right time?
Well, listen, guys, my dark horse in the NFC are the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I was a rough team for against the Vikings this week, but that's the NFL, right? You're up one week, down the next. But what do they have that is a difference maker in any given game? They have the most effective quarterback in football right now, and Nick Foles. He's having a brilliant season, guys. Brilliant, brilliant numbers, 23 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 9.0 yards per attempt. He's getting the ball downfield better than any quarterback in football. 117 passer rating. Now, to talk about a team with flaws, the Eagles certainly have them. If you're watching week in and week out, you know that. But if you have the most effective quarterback on the field in any given game, you have more than a puncher's chance to win. I'm not predicting the Seahawks to the Super Bowl, Todd. I mean, the Eagles go to the Super Bowl, Todd. But if they did right now, it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world, considering the kind of play they've been getting out of Nick Foles.
Anybody from the AFC that fits that criteria, hot team going into the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, I don't see as strong a signal anyway. You know, Baltimore is the proverbial team nobody wants to play in January right now, right?
Right.
But, you know, they're 8-6 for a reason, and this, you know, their recent 4-game win streak, they've not really beat a lot of great teams in that run. Cincinnati, before the loss to Pittsburgh, I was kind of telling them it's kind of a dark horse. And then I think the team, guys, that nobody's really talking about, and they should be, are the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
Right? I mean, they were 9-0 at one point. The 2 losses to the Broncos really set back their image in the public eye.
Right.
But, guys, they're 11-3. They're number 4 in scoring defense. They're better in scoring offense. They're number 3 in scoring offense. They're the smartest team in football, number 1 on our intelligence index, which means they're the most efficient, well-coached team in football. very much a danger, a legit defense, and lighting it up right now. Watch out for the Chiefs come January.
Kerry, what about the Carolina Panthers? I don't think a lot of people are giving them enough credit, but they can actually win the NFC South if they beat the Saints this weekend.
Yeah, listen, we've been high on the Panthers, all year. They're kind of the complete team still, right? I mean, their defense has got the lion's share of attention, but they're good in all phases of the game. We talked about those 23 quality stats we have a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're like in the top half of the league in 21 of those 23. In fact, they're in the top 10 and then I think 18 of our 23 indicators. They're a very solid team all around. They're 1 week, they're not getting the ball downfield particularly effectively. 22nd in that category. So Cam Newton not really getting the ball downfield this year, but still they're making plays. They're winning games. Very good defense. The question is, can they go into Seattle and knock off Seattle? I think Carolina could be equipped to do it. I wouldn't predict them to do it. But they are the type of team equipped to go into Seattle. And if anyone's going to upset them, I think Carolina could be the team.
What about the 49ers? Do you think that's going to be a team that can give Seattle problems in Seattle?
Yeah, I'm not. You know what? Listen, they got wiped out twice in a row in Seattle. If they have to play, they'll have to go back to Seattle. Obviously, they had that great win at home, San Francisco did against the Seahawks. I just don't. Obviously, their defense has been phenomenal over the second half of the year. There was one point entering last week where the 49ers gave up 130 points in 10 games, guys.
Yeah.
13 points per game. Phenomenal. In this day and age. So they've really been playing well on defense. I don't think that offense is equipped to play big time football, guys. I think Colin Kaepernick, has not been an elite quarterback like people expected him to be. They're kind of an average team in all our indicators of passing efficiency. And by the way, the 49ers 31st in total team yards. What that does, guys, we measure all the yards you gain on special teams, on offense, and on defense. For example, if you return an interception 50 yards, we count those 50 yards.
Okay.
The 49ers are 31st.
And that
they're 31st? They're not getting any big plays, guys.
So,
that's
like,
the problem.
So the Giants, are they 32nd, I would hope?
The Giants, I don't know if it's 32nd off the top of my head. I should know these things. I think it's Tampa Bay, yes. I'm looking it up as we speak.
Who's number one?
Number one is Denver, of course. You know, obviously all those yards on offense. Number two, Chicago. Number three, Kansas City. Number four, Philadelphia. It seems like Chicago and Kansas City have been able to, Chicago historically has produced non-offensive yards in years. In fact, one of the reasons we created total team yards is to figure out how the Bears score so many points when they have a mediocre offense, but they have an incredible ability to get yards,
on defense and special teams.
And on defense. Yeah. And that's really set them apart.
And that's what the Chiefs have been doing too. I mean, Dexter McCluster had a couple really nice returns. A couple weeks ago against the Redskins, Eric Berry was returning a couple interceptions for touchdowns, so I can see why the Chiefs are that high, too.
Only 12 teams have more than 300 punt return yards this year, okay? The Chiefs have 640, easily number one in the NFL.
That's
Holy
crazy.
Cow.
Yeah, and their interception, I believe they lead the NFL in interception return yards as well.
Yeah.
Yep, they lead. So the Chiefs lead the NFL, guys, in punt return yards and interception return yards. And those hitting yards don't really show up on the stat sheet. If you want to know why they're so efficient, why we call them the smartest team in football, it's all those hitting yards that make it easier for the offense to score points. And they're
right
on fire right now, guys. All those yards count. We count them. And that's pretty – I actually didn't know that. I'm looking it up as we talk. But, yeah, they're number one in both punt return yards and interception return yards, and I believe fourth in kick return yards.
Kerry, I know a lot of people kind of knock Alex Smith because he's more of a game manager, so they say, and he dumps the ball off to Jamaal Charles and watches Jamaal Charles do the work, rushing for 80-yard touchdowns or receiving. But you've always been a big proponent of Alex Smith, calling him one of the smarter quarterbacks in the NFL because of his efficiency. Do you think he's a guy that can lead them a lot deeper into the playoffs as people believe, or even to the Super Bowl?
Well, listen, we weren't always Alex Smith guys. It started in 2011 when he had the benefit of playing with Jim Harbaugh, who was probably the best quarterback coach in football, I would have to say. Great track record at Stanford and again in San Francisco. It was really that kind of marriage that helped kind of change his career around. And, yeah, guys, he's been a very efficient quarterback. One, he doesn't turn the ball over. That's huge. You know, those. Every interception you throw decreases your chances of winning by 20 percentage points. You know, so if you don't throw interceptions, you win games. It's not sexy. It's not exciting. It doesn't show up you know, it's not a 400-yard day that everyone gets excited about, but that helps you win games, guys. And look at his performances down the run, down the stretch on here, 107 passer rating at 89, 122, and last weekend against Oakland, a so-called perfect passer rating, guys. 17 of 20, 287 yards, which is what, 15 yards per attempt, one of the best days in the NFL this year, and five touchdown passes, guys. That, you know, the numbers aren't big, 20 attempts isn't big, 287 yards aren't big, but the efficiency, the net result is huge. If he plays like that, the Chiefs clearly are a Super Bowl contending team.
Terry, one of the reasons we love you is all the stats you can pull out of your butt, right? Talk to me about the Dallas Cowboys defense. We watched the epic collapse last week against the Packers. You told me something earlier in the day about the Cowboys defense that I thought was just amazing regarding the yards that they've been giving up.
You know, listen, they had the two worst days in Cowboys franchise history this year, giving up over 500 yards against the Saints and the Broncos, right? Two worst yardage days and over 600 yards in franchise history. Right now, they are on pace to give up more than 6,800 yards of offense, Todd. That would be the second worst all time, behind only the Saints last year, who gave up 7,042. And, you know, Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback, could only go 7-9 with that defense. I know Tony Romo gets a lot of blame, Todd, but mark my words, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, no matter who you put on that offense, they're not winning. They're not doing much better than 500 with one of the worst defenses in the history of football. I mean, you know, it's easy to point the fingers at him, but he's the plays that, you know, he's having to keep pace with the worst defense in the history of football. That's not easy to do. And you know what? They're still in the hunt. They're still in the hunt. Tony Romo is not the problem on that team. It's one of the worst defenses in the history of football.
That's incredible.
Imagine that is incredible. 7,000 yards in 16 games. They're really on pace to do close to that. And their big problem, guys, they have the worst defensive front in football. 32nd on our defensive hog index.
I just think that's incredible.
I mean, they just can't stop anybody. Simple as that.
I mean, I'm doing the math. That's like 440 yards a game.
I wish I could do math.
yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head. But it's bad, man. It's bad. I mean, how do you win like that? How do you win like that?
You don't.
Bingo. And so all these people who keep points, no. Tony Romo has MVP numbers. I know he's had some critical mistakes late in games, but, I mean, for years, people made excuses for Peyton Manning, saying, well, you have to keep up with a terrible defense. He never had a defense nearly this bad. Ever. Ever. And you know, and at the end of the day, it's going to cost you. He's not a Hall of Famer, guys, but he's a guy you can win with if you just put an average defense around him. They don't have an average defense. It's one of the worst in the history of football.
Well, somewhere, I mean, Jerry Jones is going to find another defensive coordinator again. Because this Kiffin experiment is terrible.
Go on.
No, I was just saying, this Monty Kiffin thing is just a joke.
And listen, he was one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of football, and, you know, obviously had a great track record, and, you know, left the pros after a great career in Tampa Bay, and spent a couple years in college, and came back a changed man, Todd. He's not been the same defensive coordinator we saw before. But you know what? They've drafted poorly. They've chased big-name talent that just haven't panned out. You go up and down their draft board over the years, they have a lot of big-name guys who just have not produced. Simple as that. I mean, the proof is in the statistical pudding, if you will. They just have not produced, period.
Yeah. The great Terry Byrne dropping some statistical knowledge. I mean, Kerry, it's absolutely incredible. Hopefully everything pans out the way we expect it. Because I'll be very upset if all of a sudden the Seahawks are ousted in the first round or the Cowboys somehow make the playoffs. I'll be very upset.
Hey, listen, 2 years ago, nobody saw the Giants coming, right? And last year,
nobody
saw the Ravens coming. We've seen a lot of second-rate teams make runs in recent years, guys. So stranger things have happened, that's for sure. It was only 5 or 6 years ago an 18-0 team lost the Super Bowl. So,
Kerry Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com. You can follow him on Twitter, @footballfacts, and, of course, check out his stuff, coldhardfootballfacts.com. Kerry, I want to wish you a happy holidays and enjoy week 16.
All right, gentlemen, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us. What do you say, Todd?
That's the Dallas thing just blows me away.
I know it does.
I mean, the NFL's been around a long time.
Yeah.
And yes, offenses are peaking right now. This is the, you know, this is the age where records are being broken all over the place. But still, 7,000 yards given up in one season.
Todd, that's why you keep saying the Eagles are going to end up losing the next two games and the Cowboys are going to sneak into the NFC East champions. I don't see it happening.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Cowboys just really – I think they can beat the Eagles at home in the last week of the season.
Let's see if they can beat the Redskins on the road first.
They might lose to the Redskins, but the Eagles might lose to the Bears, so it might not matter.
That's why the NFL at the end of the season is crazy, because all these teams are playing each other, and all these teams need each other to lose, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to break all of that down when we come back next. That, I think that's going to be a fun segment. Also, your fantasy football stardom and sentiment advice for Week 16. You can give us a call. The phone line's wide open right now, 855-728-7500, 855-PATS500. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. More Football Nation coming up right after this.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Cold Hard Football Facts presents A Christmas Wish by Carrie Byrne.
Santa, this is Carrie Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts. I'm really sorry to bug you again, but I was at the mall this weekend and I saw the cutest little puppy at the store. So I was wondering, in addition to all the other things that I asked for you, if you could please give me the puppy too. You know, I was looking at it. I looked at it closely. I looked at the correlations in my head, and I was doing some coverage probabilities, some critical values, and, you know, some cross-sectional studies. And I understood that if there was a cumulative probability distribution function, that would likely be the perfect animal that you could deliver to me on Christmas Day. Thank you.
End of message.
Well, welcome back to Patriots.com Radio. You're listening to Football Nation. Kevin, what is that from?
Last year, on EEI, they did, this guy calls in and he does Carrie's impression.
Yeah.
Like Caliendo does those impressions.
Right.
And he called in right before Christmas and gave Carrie's Christmas wish.
I mean, listen, you know, you make it on Saturday Night Live and they're doing impressions of you, that's when you know you made it. Someone's calling into WEEI doing impressions on you in the football world.
Yeah, he calls in.
You know you made it.
And Carrie's a guest on that station, and this guy calls in maybe, I don't know, three or four times a year as Carrie. Does
so
little bits, and his imitation is pretty damn good.
It is. That is, that's really good.
I figured it's our last show before Christmas. Might as well get festive.
Have a little fun with it.
Might as well. It's the time of year. Tis the season.
I don't think Carrie would be a good dog owner.
Why?
Why? He'd probably try to grill it.
Yeah, you know, he's very into different barbecues, and he's constantly, like, smoking goats and pigs, and I don't know what the heck, you know, and his in his smoker.
I think as long as it's smoked, he'll pretty much he'll pretty much eat anything as long as it's smoked.
Yeah, big buffalo wing guy too.
The neighbor's like, "Where's the cat?" Yeah, look over and Kerry's just got this like Cheshire grin on his face.
Yeah, that'd be good stuff. All right, well, I promised that we would help out as many people as possible today with their fantasy lineups. I want to get into the playoff implications, the playoff picture as it stands heading into Week 16, but I think I'd be doing a disservice if we didn't at least do some of the emails now.
Yeah, we got a lot of them.
We do have a lot
ready?
Of them.
First one is from Mark in Winnipeg.
Canada, eh?
Cheers from Canada, he says.
Oh, I knew that, Winnipeg.
Gentlemen, started listening to your show for the first time back in August. Loyally been following you each and every week on FF Champs and Football Nation. You guys
Thank
are
you very
absolute.
Much.
Listen to this line. You guys are absolute beauticians.
Is that a compliment?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Thanks to your advice, I've made my first championship week. But now I desperately
Excellent.
Need. Well, listen to this. This guy's very clever with his words. But now I desperately need a flex experience.
Okay.
All right. 12-team PPR league. He currently has Emmanuel Sanders in the flex. Would you rather put in Golden Tate, Stephen Ridley, Dennis Pitta, MJD if he plays, or Emmanuel Sanders?
I'd rather put in MJD if he was active, but unfortunately I don't think we're going to know that until Sunday. So for the time being, Emmanuel Sanders is fine.
Would you play Russell Wilson or Tom Brady this week?
I'd play Tom Brady.
All right. He says, thanks, boys, for helping me win. You are the truth.
The truth.
That's us.
That's right. You know, one thing that I'm a little bit nervous about, you know, Field Yates does a fantasy podcast for ESPN. He can't steal our nickname. We're the truth. He has to come up with something else on his own. I'm going to let him know that later on.
All right.
Okay. Next email.
James, hey, guys, I'm stuck with my flex spot. Please help me out if you think I should make a change. Jeez. He's got his options are Gio, Andre Brown, Rashard Jennings, Moreno, Amendola.
Right now, he has Jamal Charles and Alfred Morris in at right. running back spot. Is it, we don't know if it's a PPR league, huh?
Nope.
Gio, Brown, or Jennings. I'm putting in Moreno.
I think that's probably the way to go.
Yeah. What does HB mean? Halfback?
Yeah.
Well, he has Jay Cutler as an HB. I don't think that's correct.
No.
No.
Next one is from the Grogan's Heroes.
Bill Grogan's goat?
Grogan's Heroes.
Bill Grogan's goat. You ever hear that song?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
Grogan's.
Grogan's goat, he like he swallowed like some kind of cloth or something. He choked.
What are you talking about?
It's a childhood story that apparently only I was read.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. We can save that for another segment. That's a whole other thing. Well, we'll get the psychologist in and everything.
Yeah, that's why we can, I'm so we can dig messed deep up, into man.
Grogan's yep. goat.
Bill Grogan's goat, sure.
You talked about roasted goats a few seconds ago. Now you're talking about Grogan's goat.
Yeah, weird that goats came up twice in one show.
Very weird that you said it both times. So anyway, Grogan's Heroes, he's in the championship game, Bill, thanks to Tucker's 61-yard field goal.
Justin Tucker to the rescue. Six field goals, one of them is a 61-yarder.
He was down a boatload of points, 31 points heading into that game. And
31.
Thanks to Tucker and Pitta. He won by 0.5.
Holy crap, man. That's and you know what, Todd? He had to watch that entire game because that 61-yarder didn't come down until the very last second.
I know, but wow. He was happy. So he says, hey, as a FF Champ subscriber, you've helped me all season long, and I'm seeking your advice one more time, Bill.
You got right. it, brother.
He doesn't have RG3, so he's right. going with Kirk Cousins. Should he consider Fitzpatrick or Campbell over Cousins?
Stick with Captain Kirk.
He has no Gronk.
Okay.
So he's going with Jason Witten, or he could go with Pitta.
Stick with Pitta.
Which running back would you go with? He's got Reggie Bush as his RB1. Should I go with Shane Vereen, Alfred Morris, or Todman as my second running back?
How can you not start Alfred Morris this week? I mean, Eddie Lacy tore up the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone is tearing up the Dallas Cowboys in terms of running backs. You have to go with Alf. Have to. In the last three games, only two teams have given up more points to opposing running backs. Okay? Eddie Lacy, 141 yards and a touchdown. Week before that, Matt Forte, just 102 yards, just on the ground, not even counting what he did through the air. I believe he had 70 yards through the air. Rashad Jennings had 35 yards and two touchdowns back on Thanksgiving. You know, teams are getting it done against the Cowboys in the running game. Stick with them. Stick with Morris.
Defense, he has the Lions in there, but should he go with the Browns or Titans instead?
He has the Lions in. See, that one's close to me because I know the Giants get sacked. I know Eli Manning gets sacked a lot, and I know he gives up a lot of, he throws a lot of interceptions, but I have the Browns ranked so high this week. I'm at number five. I'd be hard pressed not to use Cleveland going up against Geno Smith.
All right. There you go. That's it. Actually, you know what? He does have his name in here. It's Sea Dog.
Oh, Sea Dog. I remember him.
Yeah. Yeah, man, he manages Grogan's Heroes, as he says. He writes in his signature, Sea Dog from Evansville, Indiana, manager of the 2012 Fantasy Football Champions, Grogan's Heroes.
I can't believe you never heard that song, Bill Grogan's Goat.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Bill ends up beating this goat, ties him to the train tracks, hits him with a stick.
Kevin? Are you with Bill on this one?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's talking... Did you take a lot of acid?
I just heard like a goat being hit with a stick.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going with this, Enright. Are you trying to Google it? What are you doing?
I'm in awe that you guys don't know the Bill Grogan's Goat song. It's like really depressing song. And I was saying it or read it as a kid. Bill Grogan's Goat, Bill Grogan's Goat. No, you guys don't know that? Was feeling fine. 8-3 red shirts right off the line. Yeah, yeah. This is it. This is it, right here.
Bill Grogan's Goat. Says supper time. You ate my shirts. Says Farmer Bill. Seeing his goats. Eating his fill.
That was it, yeah. To the train tracks.
To the train tracks.
Exactly. The train runs him over.
Around
almost.
Come black smokestacks.
Yeah. Alright, that's us.
Wait, this is scary.
I'm telling you, it's a very depressing song. The goat ends up getting his throat cut.
His stomach turns, and out he spits. The three red shirts.
How long is this?
It's long. That's enough. I'll tell you what ends up happening. The train almost runs over the goat. Instead, the conductor comes out, takes out a knife, cuts the goat's throat. The goat goes to heaven, and whoever meets him in heaven is like, hey, where's your head? He's like, I don't know. They chopped it off. These are the songs that I was saying to as a child.
Happy holidays, everybody, from Bill Enright.
Now you guys want to know why I'm so mentally unstable. It's because of this. I don't need a psychologist. I figure it all out on my own.
So, like, your parents would read that to you as you're laying in bed when you're, like, 4 years old?
I don't know if my parents heard who.
As they're closing the Bill Grogan's Goat book, and they said, and then, Bill, they slit his throat, and he went.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I've been saying that song to me. I don't know by who or what, but it left an impact on my life.
Sounds like you have voices in your head you have to deal with.
Voices? I hear constantly. You want to talk about voices? That's why I have to make you read these emails. It's too hard for me to read the emails and shut out the voices in my head.
By the way, if you do Google Bill Grogan's Goat, there's a band in Detroit who kicks out the Celtic Jams.
There you go.
And they are called Bill Grogan's Goat.
Did we help our friend Sea Dog with all his lineup questions?
Who knows? I think so.
Let's get to one more email, and then we can do some playoff picture.
Updates. From Jitesh in Newton.
Okay.
You guys have led me to 2 championship games. I made some great trades and handled the loss of Julio Jones and the ineffective tight ends. Can you help me close the deal? Okay. Regular scoring. He needs a running back and a flex from this list. Geo, Vereen, Crabtree.
Geo and Crabtree.
Okay. He's thinking about Gates over Pitta.
Yes, I'm with that. I'm down with that cause.
All right. Next one is half-point PPR. He needs a wide receiver and a flex. First of all, he's asking, is Wes Welker going to play?
No idea.
All right. So get a wide receiver and a flex. Let's not include Wes Welker in this right now.
Okay.
Crabtree, Andre Brown, Steven Jackson, Bolden.
Wide receiver is Crabtree, and the flex is Steven Jackson.
What if Welker plays? Do you change your mind there?
Yes, I do. I move Welker into the wide receiver, Crabtree into the flex.
Okay. Tight end, Cameron Pitta.
Well, we don't know if Jordan Cameron's going to play. Right now he's dealing with a concussion. I do have him ranked higher. He's my number 5 tight end this week. Obviously, if he's inactive, you're not going to play him. So that one's a game-time decision. You have to wait until Sunday.
There you go. He says, you guys have been very helpful this year. So glad you guys are on Pat's Radio. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to the Jitesh and Newton as well.
There you go.
See that, Kevin? Everyone is thanking us. So glad you're on Patriots Radio. Everyone's in their championships. You know, it's very...
Well, that guy was hitting me up for trade advice, and I helped him out.
Oh, I don't believe that.
That was wheeling and dealing.
Very rewarding feeling getting all these emails right before Christmas. At least
I know.
Wait
till these emails they're going to roll in about now about Billy Grogan's goat.
Well, it was going to be a great show filled with, you know, good tidings and goodwill toward men until I read about this or listened to this poor goat.
Yeah, how do you think I felt for a
while? All he was doing
years?
Was eating your shirt, Bill, and you slit his throat.
I didn't slit his throat. The train conductor did.
Says Bill, he slit his throat.
No, the train conductor was. Playoff picture, NFC, AFC playoff picture. Do we have time to do this now? We don't have to take a break yet, right?
The whistle blew, the train grew nigh, Billy Grogan's goat was doomed to die. Good Lord. Are you reading this?
And this was a kid's thing?
He gave three moans of mortal pain, barfed up those shirts, and flagged that train.
He was just eating some shirts.
Is this for real?
I can't believe you guys don't know this story.
No, I'm sorry. Our parents weren't psychotic.
And when he saw it was a goat, he pulled out his knife and cut its throat.
I told you the story. Goat ends up dying and going to heaven. Without a head.
Good Lord.
Oh.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Why do you think I'm doing fantasy football and not working at the stock exchange?
Oh, my God. All right. Where were we? I'm sorry. I had to read that.
AFC and NFC playoff pictures.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to go over this, Todd, only because in fantasy football, sometimes people are a little bit afraid, oh, this team doesn't have anything to play for. They're going to bench their starters. They're already out of it. I'm not buying it, especially not yet in week 16. So I want to go over the NFC, the AFC, kind of give a quick breakdown of what's happening. I think we should start off with the NFC. Does that sound good?
Yes. The NFC, the number one seed's going to be Seattle. They're not officially there yet, but their magic number is one. They just got to win one game. A couple teams have to just lose a game, and they're in. So they're going to have home field advantage, barring some ridiculous collapse.
Correct.
Number two right now would be the Saints, but really it's looking like whoever wins that Saints-Panthers game is the two seed for now. Right?
Look, yeah.
Number Saints, three at the
right,
moment.
Right.
Yeah. Number three at the moment are the Eagles. They have a one-game lead over the Cowboys. And as we talked about earlier, they can clinch the division this week if the Cowboys lose to the Redskins at 1 o'clock and the Eagles win the Sunday nighter against the Bears. Then they've clinched the number. They haven't got the 3 seed technically, but they've clinched a playoff spot as the NFC East champ.
Now, let's talk about this here for a second because it's interesting because we know the Cowboys and the Eagles play next week in week 17. So if the Cowboys do end up winning and the Eagles either win or lose, the Cowboys still have a chance.
Yeah, if the Cowboys win against the Redskins, put it this way, the Cowboys have to win out.
Have to win out.
Yeah.
And if they don't, Tony Romo will be gone.
Doesn't matter what the Eagles do. Just the Cowboys control their own destiny. If they win the next two, they're in.
Tony Romo will be golfing if they don't win out.
I miss the days when he had the whole Jessica Simpson thing.
He's got days? A. Isn't his wife like American Idol or something now?
I don't know, but it was much more fun when he had that bimbo up in the skybox, and they kept showing her during the games when he would throw that pick at the end. More fun than this Tony Romo.
I liked her.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Remember the curse of Jessica Simpson, and didn't he
Cabo
with her?
Yep, went to Cabo.
Yeah, those were good times.
That's when T.O. said, "That's my quarterback."
Because you can talk about
the vacation. You can talk about him not being here, but that's my quarterback. Yeah.
Weren't the Cowboys more fun then? They had T.O., they had Jessica Simpson in the mix. Still had Romo screwing up at the end.
I believe it's T.O.'s birthday today.
Oh.
What do you mean more fun? You don't think they're fun now? They're the Dallas dumpster fire. Jerry Jones is messing up as usual.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Running into the tunnel, crying.
Dez Bryant is either yelling at his coaches or walking into the locker room with a minute left in the game.
Good point. They have a Kiffin on the sidelines. That always makes things fun.
Tony Romo's still screwing up just as
Jerry,
much as before.
Jerry says that he's doing the best. He's done the best job of his career. Did you hear that quote?
Yeah. Kerry Burns said the same thing.
Yeah, it's just great. So maybe you're right. They're still a terrific dumpster fire, but I thought they were a little more terrific when they had Jessica Simpson.
Are they going to be a postseason dumpster fire? That's the question.
Of course.
Will you think so? You think they make it? See, I don't think they make it. I think the Eagles win the NFC East. Listen, we know the Cowboys aren't getting a wild card spot.
Actually, I misspoke. The Cowboys could lose to the Redskins and still make the playoffs.
Right. But that's only if the Eagles lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they win next week. Here's the deal. If the Cowboys make it, they're going to get absolutely waxed in the first round. They're going to get destroyed in Jerry's Dome wild card weekend if they make it.
Who would they play potentially?
Niners, Panthers, Saints. They'll get hammered.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
That's a place where the Saints could go and just light it up. I mean, it's like basically, even though it's on the road, it's a dome. Now, they lost in a dome at the Rams last week, but anyway. So let's keep
right,
moving on here.
So if the Saints are the wild card spot, they could beat down Dallas, even on the road.
I think any of these teams will crush Dallas.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't think Dallas has a shot once they get in, if they get in.
I agree with you.
So the 4 seed right now are the Bears, but the NFC North is all screwed up.
And it could get even stickier if Aaron Rodgers comes back this weekend.
Yes, it can.
Which I think he will.
So if the Bears beat the Eagles this week, Lions lose to the Giants, Packers lose to the Steelers, the Bears clinch the NFC North. So they could actually clinch it this week.
It could be one. That's right. And they'll be able either to rest their starters in Week 17 or take things a bit easier.
Which is interesting because the Bears do play the Packers in Week 17.
May not matter.
If things fall the right way, Bill, you could have Eagles-Cowboys, which is basically a playoff game, and potentially Bears-Packers for a playoff spot. You could have two kind of early wildcard games next weekend if things fall the right way, which would be tremendous.
Right.
All right. Number 5 seed right now is the Panthers. They're sitting in the wildcard spot at the moment. If they beat the Saints, they would jump up and overtake the Saints for the 2 seed.
Right.
And then the 49ers right now are sitting in the 6th spot. They can clinch a playoff spot with a win over the Falcons or a Cardinals loss.
I have a feeling that the 49ers end up making the wild card.
I think so. The team no one's talking about, but probably rightly so. The Cardinals are sneakily 9-5. I mean, quietly, they're 9-5. That's a good record.
Who do they play in their next 2 games?
Well, that's the problem. I was just going to say, they play the Seahawks on the road in Seattle, and then they got to play the Niners.
That's why I think that's why San Fran's going to make it, Todd. Because listen, it's going to be the Panthers or the Saints in the wild card. Flip flop them in the NFC South title, okay? Yep. And then the Niners, they're going to win that last spot.
We know
it's not going to be the NFC East team. We know it's not going to be an NFC North team. The only team that has a legit shot is Arizona, but unfortunately, they're playing the Niners and they're playing Seattle.
Yeah.
It would be different if maybe we're looking at the Cardinals and we see, oh, they're playing Jacksonville this weekend.
Yeah.
And then next weekend they have a home game against
Tennessee or somebody.
Right. Something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But not against the 2 top teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm with you.
Which is a shame because Arizona had quietly had a very good season.
They did. Yeah. They just don't own any tiebreakers over these teams, so they're screwed. Cardinals. Really.
Even if they lose the next 2 games, I mean 9-7 is certainly not as good as 9-5 looks, but we'll have to remember back to next year that they ended up losing the last 2 games against the Seahawks and the Niners.
Yep. So basically, Bill, it really comes down to this. As far as who's going to be in the NFC, who wins the NFC East, who wins the NFC North, because the wild cards are, in our opinion, kind of wrapped up. Yeah.
Right.
All right, let's move over to the AFC, Bill.
All right, here's where I think it gets interesting.
This is all craziness at this point. You get it started here.
All right, well, we know the Broncos right now are in the number 1 spot, but that could certainly change. They have the lead in the AFC West. They can clinch the West and the first round bye if they win. They have to play the Texans this weekend. They have to win, and the Chiefs have to lose. The Chiefs are playing the Colts this weekend. Now, they can also clinch home field if the Broncos win, the Chiefs lose, and the Patriots lose. Now, we know they're in the playoffs. They've clinched a playoff berth. Whether or not it's the 1 seed or the 5 seed or maybe the 2 seed is yet to be determined.
I'll say this. The Broncos finish on the road 2 games, like you just said, against Houston and Oakland. If they don't win out, then they got some serious problems.
I have no second thoughts about them winning out. I have a feeling.
Right, so they're going to be the 1 seed.
Yes.
Okay. Right now, the Pats are in the 2 spot.
Believe it or not, the Patriots still have not clinched the AFC East. The Miami Dolphins are hanging in there. Mm-hmm. Now, they can do that this weekend by beating the Ravens and having the Dolphins lose to the Bills. If that happens...
Or
the Dolphins losing to the Bills, correct?
Right.
Or.
Right.
So even if the Pats lose to the Ravens, as long as the Dolphins lose, the Pats will win the AFC East.
Right. Right.
Now, they can also get a first-round bye, but they need the Bengals and the Colts to lose.
Right. So it's possible they could have a first-round bye after this weekend.
Correct.
Right. Correct. It's possible.
Yes.
All right. The right now, the Bengals are in the three-hole.
AFC North champs.
Mm-hmm. But the Ravens are just one game behind.
So they need to win, and they need the Pats to beat the Ravens in order to win the AFC North. Yeah.
Okay. Colts are in the four spot right now. They've actually wrapped up their division.
Now, they're the only team, 12-team makes the playoff. They're the only team. There's 4-8 division winners. They're the only ones that have actually won the division yet.
Including Seattle, right?
Including Seattle, yeah, because if the Niners win out and Seattle loses out, then they don't have the NFC West.
What a terrible division that is.
It's just, that goes to show you, they actually had this wrapped up last week, Todd, and the Colts have been struggling lately, so it's a good thing they won a few games early on, because we've seen them struggling the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They have a tough matchup against the Chiefs this weekend, and I'll tell you what, they may end up playing the Chiefs in round one of the playoffs.
Yeah. I agree. The rest of their division, Bill, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Houston, combined record 11-31.
Well, Jacksonville and Houston, what do they have, 5 wins between the two of them?
Six.
Jacks have 4 wins?
Yeah. Jacks are 4-10. Houston's 2-12.
2-12. Yeah, I know Houston.
Titans are 5-9.
Right.
I mean, just a terrible division. We've been bashing the NFC East all year, and rightly so, but this division might be worse.
AFC South, yeah, certainly.
Might be worse.
Yep.
All right. So they're the 4 seed right now. Number 5 are the Chiefs. They've clinched a wild card. They're in. But can they ascend above the 5 seed? They're going to need some help. You know, they have to knock out the Broncos, which means the Broncos have to lose a game and the Chiefs have to win out.
I believe the Broncos have to lose 2 games.
And why? They have the same record.
Because I think their division is the Broncos. Yeah,
Bill,
beat them
they're both 11-3. They're both 11-3.
Yeah.
So okay. So if the Chiefs go 2-0 and Denver goes 1-1, then the Chiefs are 13-3, and then Broncos are 12-4.
Oh, okay.
How? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Bill Grogan's goat.
Yeah, something.
Okay. But here's where it gets, in my opinion, the most interesting. It's the wild card spot. You got the Ravens. Who have won a bunch of games in a row.
Yeah.
Well, they've won 4 in a row. They can clinch a spot with a win over the Patriots and losses by the Dolphins and Chargers.
Win over the Pats, lost. Okay.
And they can actually still win the division if they win, the Bengals lose, and the Ravens win again in Week 17. So if the Ravens win out and the Bengals lose, they can still win the division.
Yeah.
And then you got the Dolphins, Bill. Good Lord. The Dolphins have the easiest remaining schedule, in my opinion, of all these teams we're talking about. They get the Bills and the Jets. So all
talk
they
about
can
a, talk about an easy schedule, man.
Yeah. So they need to win out and hope for the Ravens and Bengals to lose.
Right.
The Dolphins have a shot, a legit shot. That's crazy. I don't want to see the Dolphins in there.
No, neither do I.
There's just no juice.
The Miami Bullies.
Yeah, there's just no juice.
We don't want that.
No, I don't think so. Chargers are still alive, Bill, but let's be honest. I mean, they need a lot to happen. They need to win out. They need to have a lot of teams lose.
Yeah, and that's a shame. I would have liked to see San Diego make it this year.
They'd be a dangerous team.
Yeah, I think they were very improved. I think Phillip Rivers is on top of his game this year. I love the way Ryan Matthews has been playing. Keenan Allen's one of my favorite rookies. So, yeah, it's a shame that they're not going to probably make it. But I would rather see the Baltimore Ravens win the wild card spot and lose in the first round than the Miami Dolphins make the wild card.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's just how I feel. Just telling you like it is.
All right, so if it started today, here's what you'd have, Bill. You'd have the Bengals hosting the Ravens, divisional
Bengals
games
Ravens, yeah.
to start the wildcard weekend. You'd have the Colts hosting the Chiefs, which we're actually going to see this week.
Right, a little bit of a preview. Do you like it when that happens?
No, I don't like
no,
it.
No, I don't either.
Not when it's like this late in the season. If you played in week four or something, who cares? But you'd have the Colts hosting the Chiefs. Well, the Chiefs host the Colts this week, so they're just flip-flopping the venue.
Like, remember last year when the Texans and the Pats were playing each other? It was like week 14 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played again in the playoffs. I didn't like that. It was too close to each other.
So let's just play the win-loss game here, kind of. All right?
Okay.
So, Bill, the playoffs begin today.
Yes.
Bengals host the Ravens. Who wins?
The Bengals win.
Okay. Who wins between Chiefs at Colts?
Chiefs.
All right. So then you would have Patriots hosting the Bengals.
Yep.
And you would have the Broncos and Chiefs in Denver.
Yep.
Wow. So rematch. Rematches everywhere, all across the board.
And I'll tell you what, if it's set up that way, watch out for the Kansas City Chiefs. Watch out for KC if that's what happens.
I'll tell you what, if you Patriots fans out there, if it does play out this way, but meaning if the seeds remain as they are,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to play those Chiefs. You want the Ravens. You want that sixth seed to win.
Over the Bengals, you mean?
What's that?
Over the Bengals.
No, I'm sorry. You want the three seed to win. My bad.
Right.
Or whatever. You just don't want the Chiefs. You don't want to face the Chiefs. Whatever it takes.
Don't want to face the Chiefs.
Because let's be honest, Bill.
The Colts
are a fraud.
I agree with that.
And I can't see them winning one game, not to mention two games in the playoffs. So
I'm with you.
I can't see them getting hot. I cannot see the Colts getting hot.
It's almost as if they have nothing to heat up. I mean.
Yeah, no. Ravens are dangerous, obviously. Proved it last year.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I'm just trying to figure out for Patriots fans, you know, what they need to be rooting for here. First, they got to take care of their own business and get that bye. I guess that's what we're worried about at the moment.
Well, let's assume
that's certainly in question.
Well, let's assume that they get the bye. I would love to hear who Patriot fans want to play. You want to play the Bengals? Got a little redemption from earlier in the year. You want to play the Colts? You want to play the Chiefs? You want to play the Ravens? I'd be very, very interested to see who Pats fans want to play in the playoffs. Maybe some people say the Broncos. They're looking forward to that AFC Championship game in Denver. They think they know they can take it to Brady.
You want to play the Colts?
Payton, take it to Payton.
You want to play the Colts somehow? That's who you want.
Yeah, the Colts are the team to play.
They're just sputtering along.
Yeah. Know? It's going to be interesting. Certainly a big weekend in the NFL, big weekend in fantasy football. We're here to help you set your lineups. We have a ton of emails to get to. webradio@patriots.com. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. And again, if you're not listening to us live, you can always hit us up on Twitter. Todd is at CFF Geek. I am at Bill Enright. And our esteemed producer, Kevin Collins, is at PatsRadio_Kevin. Let's take a quick break here and then come back. With some emails. Also, ESPN Boston reporter Field Yates is going to join us a little bit later in the show. You're listening to Football Nation Radio on Patriots.com.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Here's a dose of fantasy football from FFChamps.com.
Big dose of fantasy football week 16 in the NFL. That can only mean one thing. Fantasy football championship weekend is here. Todd, we've been trying to help everyone as much as possibly or as much as possible since August. Here we are in late December, week 16. Every point matters. I know a lot of people are emailing us. You can also give us a call, 855-728-7500, a little bit later in the show. ESPN Boston's Field Yates is going to join us. He'll talk some fantasy football with us as well, and also the Patriots and Ravens matchup. Phone line's wide open right now. I think we should dive into some emails.
All right, here we go. This one's from Neil from Pennsylvania, Bill.
Neil, the deal.
He says, it's late in the week, and I'm starting to tinker.
Uh-oh.
Namely with kickers and defenses. It's okay maybe to tinker with those. In both leagues, I've rolled with Arizona for the most part, but he is dropping them for Cleveland. Good or bad move?
Arizona is playing against the Seahawks. The Browns are playing against the Jets. I'd go with the Browns.
Okay. Second league, would you? He has Arizona and Carolina. Should he drop one of them for the Lions?
Yeah. I think the Lions can get after Eli and make him force some fumbles and get him a few sacks this weekend.
All right. Non-PPR. Quarterback, Cutler or Romo?
Cutler. Romo. Excuse me. Romo.
All right. Running backs, he needs two. Non-PPR. Geo, Chris Johnson, Dennis Johnson, Ridley Sproles.
Non-PPR, Geo and Chris Johnson.
Tight end, Pitt or Cameron?
Boy. Well, we don't know if Cameron's going to play. If he plays, that's who you're going with.
If he doesn't play, it's Pitt, obviously. Okay, quarterback, next team. Foles or Cutler?
Foles.
Two running backs. Andre Brown, Adrian Peterson, Todman, Ridley, Joyke, or Vereen?
You know, here's the thing about this situation. We don't know if Adrian Peterson's playing. If he is, that's who you're using.
Of course.
We don't know if Maurice Jones-Drew is playing. If he's not, you're using Jordan Todman. We agree on all that?
Yes.
Then it goes Vereen, then Antonio, then Andre Brown, and then Joyke Bell.
So let's just here's a likely scenario, okay?
Yeah.
Peterson does not play. MJD does not play.
Right.
Then who do you take here? For
Todman and Vereen.
Okay. In the flex, Antonio Brown or Vincent Jackson?
Antonio Brown.
Next email is from Josh in Stratford, Connecticut.
The truth.
Yes, he mentions that later here. I lost last week, so I'm going for third place with no winnings involved. Denver killed him, Bill. He says, Denver killed me. I just want an address where I can send you guys some bottles of booze and cookies or something for helping me out this year. By the way, you guys are still the truth.
I'm all about the cookies. I can't believe he lost last week.
Denver.
I hate it when our guys lose, Todd. I feel awful about it. I feel like it's partially my fault for giving maybe not necessarily bad advice, but in this case probably the wrong advice.
Bill.
My advice is never bad, but occasionally it's wrong, if that makes any sense, okay? I always tell the truth even when I lie.
Denver laying an egg like that, Bill, what are you supposed to do? Predict that?
I know. I just, you know, I like to see our guys getting trophies, not getting third place.
I hear you. Next one's from VIP Strippers.
Strippers?
Defense. Detroit or Cleveland?
Cleveland.
With authority.
Yep.
Next one's from Chris. Breeze or Romo? Interesting. Breeze on the road against the Carolina defense or Romo? On the road against the D.C. Dumpster Fires.
I'm going to go with Romo here, Todd.
Okay. I'm going to go.
Wait. Do you agree with that? Am I insane for telling people to go with Romo over Breeze?
That is a very, very tough call, Bill. Because it goes against our start your studs theory. It is championship week.
I know.
It's very tough.
Romo is a borderline stud. I have him at 4. I have Drew Brees at 7. The last 3 weeks against quarterbacks, and again, I'm only doing 3 weeks because a lot of teams have had injuries, have had different personnel changes. So the last 3 weeks against quarterbacks, I'll tell you what the Washington Redskins have given up. Let's see. Where are the Redskins? Actually, well, let's look at the Panthers first. Because the Panthers are at near the bottom. Actually, the Redskins. Wow. I wasn't expecting to see that. Matt Ryan, 14 points last week. Alex Smith, 15 points. Eli Manning, 15 points. That's the last 3 weeks against the Redskins. Let's go with the last 3 weeks against the Panthers. Where are they? Okay, last 3 weeks against the Panthers, quarterbacks have done. Geno Smith, 16 points. Drew Brees, 32 points. Mike Glennon, 9 points. I'm going to switch my rankings to make sure that Drew Brees is ahead of Tony Romo. Because you're right. It's week 16. I can't have people using Romo over Brees. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I know the matchup's better. I know Brees is on the road in Carolina, but I can't have that on my conscience.
All right. Pick a tight end. Pitta or Ertz?
Pitta.
All right, we got to pick two wide receivers, two running backs, and two flexes here, okay? Let's start with the two wide receivers. Dez, Jordy Nelson, Amendola, Torrey Smith, Baldwin, Fitz.
That depends totally on Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers is playing, then Jordy Nelson has to be in the lineup.
Dez and Jordy are in.
Otherwise, it's Dez and Torrey Smith.
Okay. Running backs, pick two. Ridley, Vereen, Monte Ball, Gio, Woodhead.
Boy, non-PPR? I don't really like these options.
No.
It's put in Gio, and then to me, it's either between Monte Ball and Vereen. And
remember, we have two flexes to throw in here, too.
I don't know if I'd start one of these running backs over his wide receivers, though. That's the problem. I'm going to go with Gio and boy. I'm going to go with Gio and Vereen.
Okay. So then would you take both receivers, both flex options from the receiving group?
Yeah, I think I would go with, again, it depends on Aaron Rodgers. But so if you're using Jordy Nelson, then go with Torrey Smith and Larry Fitz, assuming Fitz is playing. And if you're not using Jordy Nelson, then go with Larry Fitz and Amendola. Excuse me, Torrey Smith and Amendola.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next one is from, I don't know who it's from. Terrence?
Terrence.
Okay. Great season from the FF Champs yet again. Longtime subscriber to the site, and I do very well each and every year thanks to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Terrence. I appreciate that. Or we appreciate that.
Three championship lineup questions, Bill. First, I rode Drew Brees all season to the title game, but I hate his matchup on the road against Carolina. He's been pedestrian on the road. Should I start my stud or go with Colin Kaepernick, who is raring to go against Atlanta? The matchup is so tantalizing. Brees or Cap?
Brees.
Second, my flex is in flux. Did you see how he did that?
I like what he did there.
He has Baldwin Caldwell. He says he picked up Caldwell as a defensive move. Ellington, Ridley, Lance Moore, and Justin Hunter. I've penciled in Baldwin over Ellington since Arizona has such a tough matchup, but I'm not 100% certain on the move. Who's the best of the bunch?
Listen, I'm not going with Caldwell. I can't go with Andre Caldwell.
No, he did that as a defensive move.
Oh, okay. So he's just saying Baldwin or Ellington, really?
Pretty much.
I'm going with Ellington.
Okay. Against Arizona?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, against Seattle?
Yep.
Okay. Lastly, I took your advice and I picked up the Lions defense for this weekend against the G-Men, who are banged up and mailing it in. I actually like them more than the Chiefs and Bengals this weekend based on overall health and matchup. Who should I start of those three defenses? Lions, Chiefs, Bengals.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Chiefs. They're just too good. They're my number two ranked tight end defense. I'm sticking with Kansas City. I have to.
Next one is from our good buddy in Oslo, Norway, Bill.
Let's take a phone caller quick before we get to another email. We have Aris in Providence. What's going on, dude?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Championship week for you?
That's right. I'm in the championship in both my leagues. Thank you guys very much.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I only have questions about one league, actually. I'm pretty set in the other one. Thank you guys. I've had dominant seasons in both, but unfortunately in this one league, the quarterback position's been a little bit iffy for me. I drafted RG3, but that bump got dropped last week. I picked up Cutler. I got Cutler and I got Cam Newton, who I have pretty much had as my starter for most of the season. And I feel I should clarify at least one thing about this league before you answer. Players get a dumb amount of points in this league for long touchdowns. So guys who have touchdowns over 40 yards get extra points for the length. So I think anything over 60 is 10 points for the touchdown plus the yard.
Long distance TD bonus. Got it.
Yep. So I got Marshall. My opponent got Jeffrey. So I was wondering, who do you guys think I should start, Cam or Cutler? I got Cutler in the position right now. And do you believe in starting Cutler to also neutralize my opponent having Jeffries in case it comes down to the end there?
I don't like that, only because whatever you're going to get out of Cutler, your opponent's going to get too. Go for the more upside with Cam Newton.
Oh, interesting. All right. That's a good answer. I was really debating that. And my other question is tight end. I got Olsen, and I picked up Pitta last week when I lost Gronk.
Yeah.
Or a couple weeks back. So who do you guys have there?
Now, this one's interesting because if you do start Cam, I'm going to tell you to go with Olsen too. Hopefully you get one of those TD bonuses, Cam to Greg. I have Olsen at 6, Dennis Pitta at 10. So it's very close. If you don't want to put all your eggs in the Carolina basket, I can't blame you for going with Pitta, but I do have Olsen ranked higher.
Gotcha. All right, I think besides that, Rashad Jennings or Shane Vereen. That's all I got. Everything else is set. Vereen killed me last week, but everybody else came through for me, so it all worked out.
Did you say it was a PPR? Standard?
Nope, standard league.
I'm going to go with Rashad Jennings. He has like 6 touchdowns in the last 6 games.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. All right, fellas. Well,
don't be afraid of Darren McFadden coming back. I'm not worried about that. Neither should you.
Neither am I, that's for sure. All right, fellas. Well, happy holidays to you, and good luck in your championship.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that, and happy holidays to you. Best of luck this weekend.
Go get him, Aris. Take home
Go
the trophy, baby.
Get him. Get that trophy. Get those bragging rights, and if you're playing for some money, win that cash.
Right. A lot of emails to get to, Bill, before our guest.
Field Yates is supposed to be coming on in about 6 minutes from now. I think we should do some emails. Yeah, sure.
All right. Joachim from Oslo, Norway, Bill. He says, the truth, he's in the championship. He needs one of these players in his flex standard league. One player in the flex.
Edelman, Vereen, or Todman. I mean, how can I deny going with Edelman after what we've seen him do the last couple of weeks? As long as MJD is playing, I'd go with Edelman. If MJD is not playing, if he's out, I'd go with Todman.
Okay. Chris is asking, next emailer, he's in a keeper league, Bill. He can keep one person for next year. Who would you keep from this bunch? Drew Brees, Dez Bryant, or Doug Martin?
Drew Brees, I guess he doesn't have any kind of first round or whatever happens.
Nope. Just grab a guy.
I'm very tempted to go with Doug Martin, Todd. I think he's an excellent bounce back candidate. We've seen what Doug Martin could have been doing with the success of Bobby Rainey, and Mike James had a few good games. That was all supposed to be Doug Martin, and it would have been Doug Martin. So I'm still going to stick with the running back. He's only in his third year. It's not like it was a major knee surgery or an ankle injury. It was his shoulder. It'll heal. It's not going to affect the way he runs. I'm going to keep Doug Martin.
Got it. Next one's from Bear in New Jersey, Bill. Championship League title on the line this weekend. Pick two running backs from this bunch. Reggie Bush, No'Shawn Moreno, DeMarco Murray, Fred Jackson.
How can you sit No'Shawn Moreno this week? I mean, the guy has been a workhorse for your team all season long. I have to leave him in the lineup, and I'm going to go with Reggie Bush.
Over DeMarco Murray?
Yeah, DeMarco Murray. He's my number 3 ranked running back. I guess we got to get him in there, huh?
I think so. Against the Redskins? He'd be my number 1.
All right, so Murray and Moreno.
Yeah, the question to me is Bush or Moreno. That's the question. And I
It's a standard league?
I have no idea. It doesn't say.
I don't either. All right, well, you know what? Go with Reggie Bush. He always has a lot of success against the Giants.
So you're going with Bush and Murray?
Bush and Murray, not Moreno.
Okay. All right. Russell, He emails us saying, hey, the weather looks crazy across the board, but San Diego looks lovely, 64 and sunny. Todman looks like he's going to start. The MJD forecast is looking bad. He has the question is, should I start Dennis Johnson or Woodhead in the flex?
I'm going to go with Dennis Johnson here.
Okay.
Dennis Johnson over Danny Woodhead.
There you go. Next one is from Mark. Can you help me pick a flex for my standard league? Pick one, Bill. Sproles, Kendall Wright, Trent Richardson, Hakeem Nicks, MJD.
MJD if he plays. If not, Kendall Wright.
Got it. Josh from Charlottesville. He's
that one was tough, too, because those options were not very good.
I hear you. Kicker question, David Akers or Hauschka?
Hauschka.
Okay. And you know what? I'm going to save our last email for later in the show, I think. It's one from our buddy Sven, Bill.
Okay.
And he has some fantasy questions in here, but he also gives us some little tidbits about Germany, which we love.
Oh, very interesting.
And so I don't want to get into that now because I know we're up against it. But we'll get into that after our guest at the end of the show.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Quickly, Todd, we'll go over the weather for this weekend because, you know, after a couple weeks ago with the Eagles and Lions game, I think people are panicking about the weather late in December and they're worried about snow and ice. But when you think about it, I mean, that didn't stop LeSean McCoy from having a big day. Right. DeSean Jackson still had a big day. Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford, not so much, but they've been struggling the last 2 weeks regardless of the weather. So the Dolphins-Bills game, you're expecting rain, cold conditions.
Cold conditions? 55 degrees?
Dolphins and the Bills? Where have you been? Buffalo's going to be 55 degrees in late December?
That's what this website's saying.
Where are you looking? I see 33 degrees.
Really? I'm on NFLweather.com.
So am I.
You know in Philadelphia it's supposed to be 66 on Sunday. And in
Dolphins and Bills. You're seeing 55 degrees?
Yeah.
Dolphins and Bills?
Yeah.
NFLweather.com?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That's not what I'm seeing, dude.
What are you seeing?
I'm seeing 33 and rainy.
Hold on.
Refresh your screen. You've probably been cached or something. High really? Of 41. The game's in Buffalo. I went to school at Syracuse, Central New York, and Buffalo's even closer to the border and even closer to the lakes. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot colder than 55. Dolphins and Bills, 33 degrees, low, high of 41. Chalk it up. Lock it in.
All right, this one says 45.
You're still not looking at the right place then.
Now I'm on weather.com.
Nah, that's unreliable. Those weather people, so unreliable.
All right, well then you go with your information. I'll sit back and listen because NFLweather.com is obviously wrong.
NFL, not when I see it. I have them as 41 degrees and 33 degrees. Very interesting. We'll get to the weather later. I got more important things at hand. Special guest of the day, Field Yates, who is from ESPN Boston. He's also on the NFL Insider program on ESPN. Fields, thank you so much for joining us. Happy holidays. You're on with Bill and Todd.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays to you as well. Thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
We were excited to get you on this week because not only do the Patriots have a big matchup, you're a Patriots insider working for ESPN Boston, but you're also a fantasy football guy. You host a fantasy football podcast, Fantasy Underground. Todd and I host a fantasy show right here on Patriots.com. It's week 16. It's a championship. So we kind of have a great little analysis session with you as we're talking about the Ravens and the Pats and we're talking fantasy championships.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This morning, I was actually in the exact studio that you guys are in right now. So that thing has been fantasied out today, as I imagine it is throughout the season. But certainly a big week, you know, with championship games starting. If you're in some league, like ESPN.com league, many of them run through both week 16 and 17. If you're in other leagues, a lot of them only have the championship in week 16 because of the possibility of teams losing their starters and other things like that during week 17. So, safe to say that Sunday is a huge day in the fantasy world.
I want to ask you about that. What do you think of these Week 17 championships? I mean, they got to go, right?
You know, my personal preference is to have them just during Week 16. You know, and right now there aren't a ton of teams that have clinched all that they can clinch. Right. Any team has clinched everything that it can clinch. But I know that Seattle, for example, clinched the first seed this weekend. And maybe if things shake out a certain way, the Broncos may be able to do the same in the AFC. So it's one of those where, you know, maybe this year there won't be quite as many scenarios where teams are inclined to rest their starters. But
right.
there have been enough cases over the years that I tend to lean towards leagues that have their championship in just week 16.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Todd, I know you're right. with us. So, yeah.
You know, actually, I've been playing fantasy such a long time, guys. Back in the 90s, we hadn't really kind of smartened up to this yet, and we were playing in the final week, and, like, Emmett Smith and Steve Young would, like, sit down, and we kind of quickly realized it wasn't smart. Yeah. So
the only thing I'll say, the only thing I should add is that when I'm going against a team in Week 17 who has their stud quarterback resting on the bench, I don't mind it one bit. You know, it's just the problem is when I've got my own star running back who's sitting down in Week 17, and all of a sudden I'm starting some guy I picked up on waiver wires 48 hours earlier, then I'm starting to get a little nervous. So you know how that goes.
Well, that brings up a pretty good point even for this week. You know, some hot waiver wire pickups this week are Kirk Cousins and Jordan Todman. You know, what are your thoughts? Bill and I kind of had a rap session about this earlier today. You know, what are your thoughts on plugging a guy fresh off the waiver wire into your lineup in the, you know, critical title weekend?
Yeah, so I'd say that, you know, Todman probably has more of a shot, at least, you know, in my opinion, to be the kind of guy you can insert into your starting lineup in the championship game. As a matter of fact, I will be doing that in the league that I care about the most. And, you know, it's one of those where he is – this is assuming Maurice Jones-Drew doesn't play. Listen, it's not that uncommon for a team to make the finals with, you know, maybe 2.5 running backs. I say 2.5. I mean, two guys you really can count on. And then one that you're getting the up and down. You're either a player like maybe a Joyce Bell, who's a split-duty running back who has those great weeks where him and Reggie Bush are super productive, or Bush even missed the time. But then you have other weeks, like Monday night, where he had whatever it was, 44 total yards, and you're saying to yourself, I started that guy?
Yeah.
So in my situation, I am starting Jordan Todman. For those who picked up Kirk Cousins, I guess my question will be this. Who are you starting, or who are you sitting at quarterback that you're going to replace Kirk Cousins with? Because if you've been playing well all season, and presumably you have been if you're in the championship, your quarterback's probably a position of reliability. So, you know, I'm not one of those guys that if I've been able to get to the finals on the strength of Cam Newton, who has this, you know, a banged up toe this week, or Drew Brees coming up a crummy week, or I don't want people to overthink this one with Kirk Cousins. It's a very good matchup. But if you have a quarterback who's been in the top 10 or top 8 throughout most of the season, I wouldn't bother switching it up and putting Kirk Cousins in, despite the fact that he was going up against a really bad Dallas secondary.
All right, speaking of the quarterbacks, what about Aaron Rodgers? He's been on the shelf for the last couple of weeks. If he's active, if he's playing, Coach Mike McCarthy comes out and says Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback, we're making the playoffs this year. Do you play Aaron Rodgers in your fantasy football championship?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not to be the cop-out specialist, but it's always a matter of who you have as the alternative. But this is another one where, hey, let's say you picked up either maybe like a Ryan Tannehill or an Andy Dalton even, someone who's been, you know, they've had their moments where they've been really good, but then they also have those weeks where you're like, I can't believe that's my starting quarterback. You know, I'd feel more comfortable with Aaron Rodgers. But if you, somehow you were shrewd early on this season and you know, hey, maybe this Nick Foles kid is worth a pickup, I've got no problem if you're going to start Nick Foles over Aaron Rodgers. But for me, he basically becomes what he's been before his injury, which was, you know, a top 3 or 5 quarterback, depending on the week. Sometimes even number one overall, you know, maybe before Peyton Manning's ridiculous alpha, you know, breakout. Or I guess it's sort of weird to call it a breakout season, but you guys know what I mean with this being his best season ever.
Right.
Which says a lot about a guy who's a first ballot Hall of Famer. If Rodgers does start and you don't have, you know, a surefire top 5 option, I'd probably put him into my lineup.
Okay.
Field, you know, here we are on Patriots.com radio. Shane Vereen kind of had a stinker last week in the world of fantasy football. You expect to bounce back from him this week?
Yeah, you know, I do. And I think the thing with Vereen that probably happened is that we got sort of used to expectation here. He had 40 catches in his first 5 games this season, an average of 8 catches, which was second most per game, behind only Julio Jones in the entire NFL. So I think that he came back down to earth a little bit. But I think the expectations need to be sort of probably like readjust a little bit. Like, we can't count on Shane Vereen to be an 8-catch per week running back. That's hard to sustain no matter who you are, no matter what offense you're in. But I think that you can probably trust him. Again, this is one of those where if you have, you know, an obvious option that's been starting for you all week and been better, then, you know, there's no reason to overthink this one. But if it's one where, you know, you're nervous because of last week with Shane Vereen, I understand the nerve a little bit, but, you know, if you're choosing between him and, again, another split-duty running back like Joyce Bell or like Daniel Thomas, who may not even play for Miami, but somebody like that, I tend to lean towards Vereen, especially if it's a PPR league, because he has the ability to be PPR gold if he love has it. A week like he did 2 weeks ago. 12 catches, that's just ridiculous.
That's what I love. Field Yates joining us here on Football Nation Patriots.com radio. He covers the Pats for ESPN Boston, ESPN NFL Insiders. You can follow him on Twitter at Field Yates. Let's get into this Pats Ravens game. Big matchup. You wrote an article on ESPN talking about how the Pats need a defining win on the road. They haven't lost back-to-back games since December of 2002. What do you think a road win in Baltimore will do for this Patriots team?
You know, this is one where someone will say to me, well, look, if they win on the road on, you know, on Sunday, it doesn't guarantee anything for the playoffs. And that's correct. You know, if the Patriots win on Sunday, it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl or anything else. But what it does is it gives the Patriots a little bit of a mental edge because, as I mentioned in the column, you know, what's their best road win this season? They really haven't had a defining road win where you're saying to yourself, all right, we can get it done away from home. Now, they also haven't been blown out away from home. So it's not as if they're this team like the Saints who has really struggled away from the Superdome. You saw what happened to them against St. Louis, an inferior team on Sunday. Drew Brees was, all of a sudden, not very Drew Brees-like. And yet, for the Patriots, their best road win, you know, I guess there's only three, so you can sort of split hairs. You know, they beat the Bills back in week one, and, you know, they've only gotten in Atlanta, and then you got Houston. You know, three teams that are, you know, top 10 or, say, bottom 10 in terms of records. So no great wins on the road for the Patriots this season. But more than likely, unless Denver has some sort of unusual collapse during the final 2 weeks when they're playing the Texans and the Raiders, in terms of the worst and the third worst records in all of football, the Patriots are probably going to have to go on the road in the playoffs at least one time in order to make this Super Bowl. So winning on Sunday is one of those where, hey, again, it doesn't guarantee anything, but it does let them know that, you know something, we're capable of beating a really good team in an adverse environment. The Ravens are 6-1 at home this season, always a boisterous, loud crowd. I think the Patriots could sort of give themselves a mental edge if they win on Sunday.
Okay.
Field, our producer, Kevin Collins, came up with a pretty interesting kind of hypothetical question. I wanted to pose it to you here. His question was as follows. Patriots fans out there, would you rather have the Patriots with Rob Gronkowski having to start the playoffs in the wild card round, or would you rather have the Patriots' current roster with a bye week? What gives the team a better chance to get to a Super Bowl, in your opinion?
Man, that's a great question by Kevin, who, for those who don't already know, is a terrific producer, has always been a big help for me. So, Kevin, not surprisingly, coming up with a great question there. I would say, and it sounds a little bit nuts, because in the playoffs, you know, every game is, you know, I guess you call it sort of a, you know, sudden death, right? If you lose, you're almost
right
out. But I think the Patriots with Rob Gronkowski is the preference, right? I mean, that's them at their best. We saw how good the offense was with Rob Gronkowski back in the lineup, 11 points more per game than what they've been doing otherwise. So I think the answer is Rob Gronkowski, having him and having to play three games before you go to the Super Bowl, because of the fact that in the wild card round, you're probably going up against a team that you feel pretty confident against as it is, whereas, you know, in the second round of the playoffs, you're playing a team that's already won once or had a first-round bye. So I think that, you know, the wild card round, if it's like, hey, Rob Gronkowski against, like, potentially the Dolphins again, or maybe even, you know, the Ravens, like, that's a team, those are teams that I think you feel pretty good about your chances against, provided it's at home, you know, especially if it's at home.
Field, you really just crushed me because Kevin posed that question. Kevin's with you. He'd rather have Gronk and play in the wild card round. Todd is with you. He'd rather have Gronk and play in the wild card round. I was the only one that said they wanted a bye, so I was hoping that I'd at least be able to tie the score with you, but no, not the case at all. I'm still with that. The Pats would rather have the bye, but I'll agree to disagree with you guys. One more question for your field. Let's assume the Pats do win on the road. Let's assume they do get past the divisional round. Do we think they go to Denver? Even though, despite all the losses on the road, they haven't been major, but they have been losses on the road, as you point out in that article on ESPN.com. Do we think they can go to Denver and take down the Broncos?
I do think they can, and it has nothing to do with the fact that they beat them at home earlier this year. It has nothing to do with the fact that Peyton Manning has had some struggles in the cold weather, or maybe there aren't struggles. It seems like that narrative changes by the week, depending on how he performs. But I would say that the Patriots have this certain resilience about them that has certainly, you know, shown up in the regular season. You think about the Saints game and the Broncos game and, of course, the Browns game. And then there have been other times where it hasn't quite been enough to get them through, like we saw last Sunday in Miami. But where I think it really will show itself is in the postseason when the Patriots are playing games that, you know, it's win or go home. And I think that's enough to put the Patriots very much in the mix for the AFC title crown. And I wouldn't be surprised if I get sent down to New York to cover a Super Bowl with the Patriots. This team certainly doesn't have a huge margin for error, and it's not going to be easy. But, you know, this team has shown me one thing and taught me one thing this year, and that's to not count it out, because they've time and time again, they've come back and, you know, and flexed a certain moxie that the teams just don't have often, and I think will make a big difference in January.
All right, so there you have it. Pats can take down the Broncos, according to our guy, Field Yates. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, best of luck in your Week 16 championship, and have a great holiday. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, talk some NFL with us today.
Absolutely, guys. I'm right back to you. Best of luck this Sunday.
Thank you very much. That was Field Yates, ESPN Boston Insider, covers the Pats for ESPN Boston. And, of course, you can watch them on NFL Insiders, which is the show that I watch from 3 to 4 o'clock on ESPN, right before I come on air, because typically they have some late-breaking news. I get some some inside access. You know, Schefter's on there, Mortensen's on there, our guy Field Yates is on there. So good stuff on that NFL Insider show.
Good stuff. And he's a fantasy guy.
That's what I love, Todd. You know, some of these guys, some of these NFL Insiders, they kind of look down on fantasy, which I don't appreciate, because I feel like I know more about the whole NFL in terms of players and personnel on each team than most, just, you know, these guys that do reporting and injury updates. They might not know Jordan Todman was the third string running back in Jags camp to start the year, and Denard Robinson was highly touted as the offensive weapon more so than Todman. I kind of, you know, I know that background information. I think fantasy actually gives us an edge for our NFL, general NFL analysis. But that's just me.
Just don't ask Bill to review the Trash or Treasure segment on NFL Network, please.
That is something that I will not do.
Right. All right, Bill. That was a good guest. I liked it.
Hey,
we got about 5 minutes left in the show.
Great job by our producer, Kevin, for landing him.
How about it? Kevin did some work today.
Yay.
Kevin did some work today.
Yes. How do you want to end the show, Bill? We got a few minutes to go.
You still got Sven, right?
We got have Sven a couple, and a couple other emails.
Couple injuries, couple emails, couple German Christmas traditions. Well, let's try to get to all of them.
All right, let's start off with Sven, okay?
Why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices? Ooh-yah!
All right, so this is our guy, Bill, from Germany, who always gives us little German tidbits.
He does.
All right, so he says, last week, sorry for not sending you a new German fact last week. I just couldn't come up with a new interesting one. But your question about Glühwein was brought one up. Remember last week?
You asked him about a drink that everyone has.
I was in Germany at Christmas, and everyone on the streets was drinking this crazy thing called Glühwein. So here we go. He says, 4 weeks prior to Christmas, many cities opened their famous Weihnachtsmarkt.
Good luck with
a
that.
A lot of market stands where you can buy and eat all kinds of sweets, bratwurst, and, of course, Glühwein. These German Christmas markets, Christkindl markets, or holiday markets, as you might know them in a few cities, date back to the 14th century. The one in Augsburg, where I live, is one of the oldest markets in Germany.
Oh, wow.
And exists back to 1498.
Damn.
The famous Glühwein is an alcoholic drink made of wine, usually red, but could be white, and different kinds of spices, cinnamon, clove, lemon peel, and I can't even pronounce what that is.
And is that?
Anise? I don't know. It's served hot, so it's kind of like Wild Bill's Fire Cider in a way.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Served hot. There's also a non-alcoholic version available, which is called Punch.
Who wants drinks that? Made of,
nah, nobody cares about that.
No.
So there you go. There's a little tidbit for you there, Bill.
Awesome. Glühwein.
Now, on to fantasy football.
Who's the pussy now?
Whoa.
Oh, jeez, Fred.
Where'd that come
That's
from?
That's for the non-alcoholic drinkers.
Oh, okay.
Are we allowed to say that kind of word on here?
Well, Fred says it. We can say it.
Wow. I didn't know that. I'd be calling that. Go on.
Oh, you guys are pussies.
Oh, my God.
Gotta love
Fred. That language. Bill Grogan's like goat.
The way you splice it in, sounds like he's right there. Yelling
all
right.
Nuts. Oh, that was a all these are from one rant that he just went on nuts.
Wow.
And Andy was like, can we say that? And he just kept saying it. And he was like, I guess we can.
Wow. Okay. I'm shocked.
So, Sven has a fantasy question, Bill.
Of course.
He's competing, unfortunately, for third place.
Ah, I hate that.
But it's his first season ever playing fantasy.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
Not a bad start.
All right.
So let's help him win third place.
I'll tell you what, for a first season fantasy player, I mean, he's asking the right questions. From Germany,
yeah, he
right.
He's doing great.
Yeah.
So he says, who should I play in my flex? Here are his options. Ridley, Tate, Amendola, Crabtree, or Douglas?
Well, Tate is out. I'm going to go with, it's a standard league. I'm going to go with Crabtree.
I agree. Harry Douglas is on slumping. Amendola, who the hell knows? Ridley, terrible.
Yeah.
Tate out. I like Crabtree.
Yep.
There you go. That's it from Sven.
Oh, okay.
Glühwein.
Thank you very much for that info.
Next one is from Silvio.
Silvio, like from The Sopranos season 2?
Yeah, I guess.
Hey guys, everything was my favorite, and then he kind of started getting it in with you know, Tony's wife. Who I'm forgetting her name right now. How am I forgetting her name?
I don't know. I'm trying to read this email.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
This is not a fantasy question, I don't think. This is just a Patriots question. Maybe a rant.
Carmella.
There you go.
Sorry, I just have a stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
So,
really,
go on.
Stream of consciousness? You're talking about goats?
It's terrible.
It's getting slit. You're all over the place.
It's a curse. It's a curse.
The synapses in your brain are just firing all over the place.
I'm telling you, it's a curse to be me.
Yeah.
Go on with Silvio.
All right. It's kind of a rant. Okay, I'll read it out to you. Everything was lined up for us to finally take ring number 4, us meaning the Patriots. A weak AFC, the Giants out of the playoffs, cold weather, potentially bad weather Super Bowl location, and our defense finally looked capable, but then we got hit by the injury bug, and although I still haven't given up on the season, I think we're just too banged up to make a run because it's getting to the point now where one more injury at several position groups could be catastrophic. On to next year, do you see this offseason being like the 07 season offseason when we bring in a lot of firepower for Tom?
Well,
so basically, his question really is, you know, what are they going to do this offseason?
Let's just try to get through this season because I don't know about next. I think the Patriots can still make a run. Todd, you think the Patriots can make a run. Kevin thinks they can make a run. Field Yates just told us they can make a run. So let's get through this offseason. Let's get through this postseason before we start talking about the offseason. And then I'd be happy to go back and address this question.
Okay. I think that's it, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's it for the email. Sven had one more follow-up email, but I think he just was correcting his Tate mistake earlier.
Oh, all right. Nice.
So,
we haven't heard anything about Kevin's fantasy team, and I'm a little shocked because it is one of the most important weeks of the year.
I just don't have a lot of questions this week.
You're not tinkering?
No, I'm playing for third place to get in the money in one league. In the other league, I'm in the semifinal. So I'm just going to stick with, you know, the dance, you know, dance with who brung you.
Okay. Fair enough. I like that.
I ditched Gostkowski because I don't think the Patriots are going to score a lot of points, but that was minor, you know?
Right.
From a defensive standpoint, I didn't like the Cardinals. I had the Cardinals as my defense in both leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Got rid of them because I don't like them in Seattle this week. I think they could give up some serious points. So I took a flyer on the Lions at home against the Giants, thinking
I think that's a good move. A
couple pick sixes against your boy Eli.
Sure, I think that can happen.
I felt that was a decent play. But other than that, like the main portion of it, the only thing I was semi-thinking, I picked up some quarterbacks just to protect myself from the other people.
Mm-hmm.
Cousins is one of them. in the league that I'm in, the semifinals, it's just the one quarterback league, and I was able to kind of hoard Andy Dalton. Brady doesn't play well against the Ravens, and Brady is the starting quarterback. Now, in one league, I have two quarterbacks must start. The other one is one. I have Brady in both teams, and I'm a little nervous because, you know, the offense hasn't been great the last couple weeks, and he doesn't historically play well against Baltimore. So I'm kind of curious. I mean, I need to think more about it because it would be a big move to bench him in favor of a Cousins, in my opinion, or a Dalton. But I don't know. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
Bill? Hello?
It's going to be interesting, Kevin. I mean,
I think Brady...
I think you Brady go with Brady.
I think Brady and Dalton are pretty similarly ranked in pretty much everything I've seen this week. It's just Cousins is a wild card. I mean, that Dallas defense is awful, you know, and Cousins played a pretty good game last week.
Bill and I are both going up against Cousins in our big money championship league. So we are voodoo dolling Cousins.
Yeah. I think he has the potential, and he's a guy also that's playing for his future, you know?
Yep.
He has a lot of incentive to go out there, and even if the team doesn't play terrific, he wants to show well. For whether it's a gig there or somewhere else next year, you know? And he's a guy that last year, too, when given the opportunity when RG3 went down, showed pretty well, you know? I mean, I'm not going to say he's proven by any stretch, but he's at least a guy that's shown us when he's had a chance.
Which way are you leaning then?
I don't know. I'm thinking about potentially hedging my bets a little and playing him in one league. Just to not have Brady go in both. I don't know how you guys feel about that or like that strategy, because normally I'm pretty boom or bust and I like to go big or go home. And whether it's like picking in a pick'em pool or a survivor pool or a fantasy, you know, I don't like, for example, I have two pick'em pools, right?
Right.
And if there's a game that I think that could be a toss up and that I'm really not sure on, I never kind of pick one team in one league and one in the other. I always go big. I try to sweep everything, you know, and I usually it doesn't work, but I don't know how you guys feel about doing
that. Bill, over the years, if I have a guy like Tom Brady, I just play him.
Yeah.
I just don't mess with it. I mean, I'm
the same way.
That's just how I am. And I think that over the years, that strategy works out. You know, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but more often than not, it does. Or the difference just isn't that, you know.
That's why I moved Drew Brees ahead of guys like Romo and Rivers.
Yeah, but, you know, but what Kevin's saying is you have a little bit of a different scenario because you're talking about maybe hedging a bet. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Cousins threw, you know, 300 yards and three touchdowns either at all, you know?
Yeah,
and I feel like, you know, we talked last week and earlier this week too, guys, about the whole Matt Asiata thing and about how you would never put him in because he just never done anything, right?
Right.
I feel like that doesn't apply to Cousins. I felt like when he's got the chance, he's played pretty well.
Well, we saw him last year. Listen,
that's
Matt
what I'm
Asiata,
saying. He brought
as far as everyone knew last year. As far as everyone knew, Matt Asiata was a fullback who had five carries throughout his entire career.
Exactly.
But we've seen Kirk Cousins get it done last year,
and produce
against the Ravens.
Yeah, in a
we've
big
seen
spot.
Him. Yeah.
So I feel like he's
so
not.
It's not,
the,
it's no, not the same.
Exactly, and that's and Bill. That's the point that I make to myself in thinking: Do I give him? You know, do I?
But you're
know.
Not putting him in over Brady, man.
Okay. That's it's good to reassure. I mean, I couldn't pull the trigger on it.
You can put him in over Carson Palmer. You can put
Matt
him in
Ryan.
Over Alex
so,
Smith.
Yeah, so here's
you can
the
put
thing.
Him in over Matt
so
Ryan.
So here's the thing: I've got Brady in the one quarterback league. The other the other league where you have to start two, I have Brady and Matthew Stafford. So I don't think I put him in over Stafford with that juicy Giants matchup at home.
No, you leave both of your guys in there.
Yeah,
I'm almost regretting that I asked.
Asked what?
If you had any questions about your team.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was just like the only thing that that really popped up that I had.
I'm only kidding.
Bill, here's you put it nicely. I forget if it was the Tuesday show or last week, but you said, would you rather lose by, you know, Tom Brady not performing, you know, your stud, and, you know, Cousins did better, or by, you know, benching Brady and Brady going off?
I think what I was trying to say was, would you rather lose with your stud in the lineup?
Yes.
Or lose because you were a knucklehead and benched your stud for some flavor of the week that never done anything?
I mean, one move I am making, Bill, and I'm following your strict orders on this.
Good.
Is in a flex spot for the league that I'm playing for third place here and playing to get some money. I'm putting Jacoby Jones in, especially against the Patriots.
Okay.
I have him in, you know, other potential people that could be in that spot are like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Sproles, Stephen Ridley. I'm going with Jones.
Okay.
And I think, you know, he's shown 4 weeks in a row, you know, that he's got double-digit points and has, you know, some potential to do something, especially against the Patriot defense. You know, I feel like that's a good play this week.
Right.
So I'm you know, I've been hesitant to put him in, but Bill, I'm going out on the limb and I'm jumping in with both feet.
Do we want to end this show with some Patriot predictions?
That'd be great.
Kevin, what is your prediction for Patriots Ravens?
Yeah, so I predict the Pats to lose last week, and during last week's show, during this portion of the show, I said they'd lose two in a row. And so I'm going to stick with my prediction that that Baltimore will win this game. I don't think the Patriots will no-show. I think they'll show up. I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be kind of ugly at times. I'm going to go Baltimore. I'm going to go Baltimore 23, New England 17.
Hmm. 23-17. Okay. That is not fantasy-friendly.
No. I'm going a little bit more fantasy-friendly than that. Listen, the Pats haven't lost back-to-back games in December since 2002. I think they win this one 30-24.
Okay.
30-24.
I wouldn't be shocked if they win, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think they win this weekend.
Yep.
Ravens 24-20. I'm with Kevin.
All right, so good. You two against me. I like that.
Yeah, it usually works out when Kevin and I side up against you, so I'm going to go with Kevin.
Well, I hope Bill's right, but I just when we pick these games, you try to pick with your head, not your heart, right? You try to pick with what you see in front of you. So that's what I do, and sometimes I get flack for it, but, you know, you kind of, especially you guys more than me, I mean, you get paid good money to do a job. No, to do a job and, like, you know, give your honest assessment of, like, what you see, whether it's in fantasy or, you know, trying to break down a game. And I think Baltimore, and we went over it all week, in several key areas that could decide a close game, which I think we all three agree this is going to be a relatively close one-score game.
Yeah.
But in the key areas of, you know, special teams with the return game and the kicker, definitely go to Baltimore. You know, I think that the Patriots have a little bit better running game at this point, but not by much. And I think that when you look at in terms of on defense, I think Baltimore's red zone defense and ability to force teams to kick field goals and the Patriots' inability to score in the red zone, I think that's going to be the difference. I think the Patriots are going to try to settle for some threes, and I think that's going to cost them.
Kevin Collins, does Shane Vereen have a big game or not?
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be – I think what you saw last week is going to be more what you see from Vereen. I don't think he might not be as quiet as he was last week, but – I think he's going to be used in protection roles. You might see a few draws to him. I think that they're going to have to try. I think Baltimore, one area you can attack them is I think they're a little bit slow. I think you'll see the Patriots try to attack similar to the way they did in Miami, like spreading the team out, you know, and they threw a ton of balls to Amendola and Edelman across the middle and outside wide receiver screens, that type of thing. And one thing I'm calling for this week that I think they should do, and I hope that you see it, that they did not do last week until they had to, was the hurry up. So I think you may see that earlier than usual.
All right, it's time for some final thoughts. Kevin, you have any quick final thoughts for the end of the show?
No, just Merry Christmas to everybody, and hopefully the Pats give you an early Christmas present on Sunday.
Very nice. Todd, what do you got?
Everyone out there, Google Bill Grogan's goat and read it to your children on Christmas Eve.
Don't do that. You'll end up they'll end up as mentally unstable as I am. Listen, week 16, fantasy football championships. The time is now. You want to win the trophy. You want to win the bragging rights. You want to win the cash. Check out ffchamps.com for all the latest rankings, injuries, news, strategy. You can always hit us up on Twitter at ffchamps. You can follow Todd at cffgeek. Kevin is at patchradio_Kevin. I am at Bill Enright. As everyone else said, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Go win your championships. And then email us about how much you won next week. Best of luck to you. Thanks for listening.
Around the curve, come black smokestacks. The silly goat has triple fits. His his stomach turns and out he spits the three red shirts. He gives them back and stops the train right in its tracks.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.